Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Psalm 116:15 says, "Blessed in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Multitudes of believers have given their lives for the faith. Are we ready to do the same? Today, some final thoughts about our final moments on earth. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we conclude a series on the legacy of a converted man. Erwin Lutzer is talking about those who, like Paul, made the ultimate sacrifice for Christ.
And throughout history, many martyrs have followed Jesus in this. You remember Stephen, one of the first Christian martyrs being stoned outside of Jerusalem. He looks up and what does he see? He sees Jesus standing on the right hand of God the Father, ready to welcome him home. And then he also prays for the forgiveness of his enemies and basically says, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit." I think, for example, I'm going to include here Anne Boleyn. Anne Boleyn, you know, was the second wife of Henry VIII. What an interesting guy he was. He had six wives. Three or so of them were beheaded by him. He was not entirely a nice husband. He married Anne Boleyn, and she would not bear him a son, but she did have a daughter who turned out to be Elizabeth I. Great impact on England. Henry accused her of adultery. Not sure if that's right. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But the real reason was because she had become a believer. She had never met Tyndale, who translated the Bible into English, but she had a copy of his New Testament. And when we were in the British Library in London, we were shown a New Testament of Tyndale's. There's only about one or two left. Some people would even argue that that at one time belonged to Anne Boleyn, and supposedly, not sure if it can be proven, she took the New Testament to the chopping block with her. But I'm reciting here and paraphrasing the prayer that she prayed before Henry had her beheaded. It went something like this: "Lord Jesus, I commit my soul to you. You shed your precious blood on the cross on my behalf." And she died, and I believe arrived in heaven right after the event. Wow, what a way to go, you know. I don't know how I'd act if I knew I was going to be hacked to bits. I do know that sometimes the chopping block didn't work too well and it took a while. Could be painful. But just know that on the other side of the curtain, Jesus is there. Actually, that's not accurate. Jesus is on this side of the curtain, and then he walks us through to the other side, and we see him in a new way. Then I think of Bonhoeffer. You remember, he turned against Hitler and became part of the resistance movement, and he was hung in Flossenbürg. But what impresses me is this, that the morning of his hanging, and that wouldn't be a nice way to die, would it? The morning of his hanging, the biographers say that he was stripped, he was taken to the gallows, and he was allowed to pray. And he prayed these words. He said, "Oh God, this is the end, but for me it is the beginning of life." And with that, he walked to the gallows and was hung. A doctor who saw him said that he had never seen anyone die with such tranquility, such a sense of confidence in Jesus Christ. "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life." And then, of course, I want to end with the Apostle Paul. So he goes along living a bit longer, visits many churches. Of course, as you know, he wrote 12 or so books of the New Testament. And it's time for him to die. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this. He says, "The time has come for me to be offered. The time of my departure has come. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day, and not to me only, but unto him also who love his appearing." And with that, he is beheaded by Nero, reminding us that death does not end all. Not only that, but decisions and victories won in this world may be very different in the life to come. Eternity, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Eternity reverses the decisions and the events of time. Jesus told a story about a rich man who had all kinds of jewelry and fine clothes and fine food. And he would sit there every day and he would enjoy life. And there was a beggar by the name of Lazarus, not to be confused with the other Lazarus who was raised from the dead. And Lazarus would come, and with the dogs, he would lick some of the crumbs from the rich man's table. Both died. Lazarus ends up in Abraham's bosom, close to Abraham. The rich man ends up in Hades, in torment. Things are not what they appear to be. And at the end of the day, what we need is Jesus, so that we can say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I'm sure throughout the many years I've been here at the Moody Church, I've used this illustration, but I shall use it again. Think of how different the Apostle Paul was from Julius Caesar. When Caesar, in his play, spoke about death, Hamlet, I should say, Hamlet speaking about death in that grand soliloquy. Remember, Hamlet said, "To be or not to be, that is the question." And then he goes on to talk about the possibility of suicide, but he said, "Oh, in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil." Wow, life is miserable. I want to end it. But after I end it, it could be a lot worse than it is now. You see, what he was saying, what Hamlet was saying, "Live or die, I'm a loser." The Apostle Paul is saying, "Live or die, and I'm a winner. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What a difference Jesus makes. When we were on the cruise one morning, as we were going through the Dardanelles. Now, the Dardanelles are a very small, narrow neck of land, one of the most important waterways in all of Europe. All kinds of battles happened there. And we were on our way to Istanbul, and going through them takes a couple of hours. I noticed that there was a ship that was coming, and it was coming to our ship. It was much smaller. And then it was alongside of our ship, and somewhere on our ship there was a door, and somebody exited the door onto the ship. So I wondered what in the world, and left. I wondered what in the world this was about. So the captain of our ship told us this. He said, "The Dardanelles have so many danger points because of the currents that it is a requirement that before we go through them, we have a different captain who knows the area very well. He comes on and he helps guide us. And once we're through that area, he goes his way." And I thought, you know, that's the way life is. Waters with currents, rocks along the way, winds that blow us from one end of the shore to the other. When we come to the important issue of going through the valley of the shadow of death, we need a guide. And what we need is a guide who knows the way, who's been there, and who says, "Follow me, and I can take you safely to the other side." Well, you know who that guide is. There's only one. It's not Muhammad, not Krishna, it's not Baha'u'llah. There's only one guide who's been there, done that, and waits for us on the other side, Jesus. If you don't know him personally, you know of him, you recite the creeds, you grew up baptized, whatever, but you don't know him personally, would you receive him as your Savior? Thank him for dying for you, and that you receive his death and you receive the gift of eternal life given to all who believe. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news that Europe desperately needs, and the good news that America is forgetting and turning against. But here we are to witness to the power of Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You believe on him. You may be listening by way of internet, by way of radio, right here in the sanctuary of Moody Church. You trust Christ as your Savior. He's the only one who can guide us safely to the other side. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you today that the Apostle Paul died well. And we think of the believers through the centuries. We think of those who are being persecuted today, not just throughout the Middle East, but in North Korea and elsewhere, China. We pray today, Lord, invigorate your church, grant strength, and help them to die well for your glory. And then for us, our pampered Americans, which is what we are, always expecting that we shall be delivered, that we shall be exempt from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Help us to love you, to know you, to trust you, that when our time comes, we may die well for your glory. And for those who don't know Christ as Savior, at this moment, cause them to believe. Give them what they don't have, a sense of conviction and faith that they might belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And my friend today, if you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you let us know? This is Pastor Lutzer. Simply go to our webpage, moodymedia.org, click on the contact button. Let us know what Running to Win has meant to you. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours, so that you can be blessed with them again and again. Share them with your friends. At the end of the day, it's the assurance of God's Word that enables us to face the future.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up Dying with Christ, his final message on the legacy of a converted man. Next time on Running to Win, don't miss a series on Christ Before Bethlehem. This series on the life of Paul can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For all the details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about the legacy of a converted man. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.